Thank you for tuning into KHSU and into Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler. Two interviews on today's program. Later, we'll hear from Janessa Johns-Rood and Julie McNeil, two artists teaching through the Arts in Corrections program at Pelican Bay State Prison in Crescent City. First on today's program, North Coast Repertory Theater presents the musical 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee this Friday, November 9th through December 8th. My guests are two of the actors, Ethan Vaughn, who plays Leaf, and Tina Tumata, who is Logan. Also here is the musical's director, Nan Voss. One of the songs in the musical is titled Pandemonium, and that really belongs to Leaf.
So Leaf is homeschooled, and he came in third place in the spelling bee that he was in that would qualify you for the spelling bee that takes place in the show. But the winner and runner-up both became unable to attend due to scheduling conflicts based around some coming-of-age ceremonies.
Wait, how old are they again? Like 13,
yeah, somewhere in there. You know, we've got a range of ages.
Somewhere between 13 and 23.
Yeah, exactly. We top out at 13, I think. Okay. Tina's the youngest.
Okay.
But so Leaf gets invited as the second runner-up to fill in when the people that finished ahead of him in his spelling bee are unable to attend. So he's just super psyched to be there. And so the whole experience is pandemonium for him. I mean, it's this crazy, like, whole new world. There's all these kids that he's never met before, and everyone's so different, and he's competing with people that actually won their spelling bees. So compared to him, who didn't, he wasn't even supposed to be there, but he also just kind of like loves it. And it's just like everything that's new to him is, oh, that's so neat. Oh, look at this thing that's new. That's neat too. Oh, that's neat. That's neat. I like that. That's cool.
And the pandemonium song, is it something like that? Like what you're saying?
That's
right now?
Certainly part of it for me. I think I have a different experience with pandemonium than perhaps other people in the show.
Leaf Coney Bear has a different experience for everything this entire show.
Yeah, I'm kind of on my own wavelength apart from everyone else pretty much all of the time.
Well, then tell us, Tina, what is your character's name?
I play Logan Schwartzengrumenier, who is the youngest.
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
Logan Schwartzengrumenier.
Okay.
I have two gay fathers, Daniel Schwartz and Carl Grubenier. There we go.
There you go.
So I'm the youngest character, and I'm like, I'm heavily into politics, and like the whole pandemonium is like, this is not going how it's supposed to. This is wrong. We got to fix this. So this is just like where she kind of explodes. Like, do this right or let's not do this.
Yeah,
your character explodes?
I feel all of our characters explode at that point.
You mean everything is falling into some sort of pandemonium, some sort of chaos, Nan?
Yes.
Nan, so you are playing, you are the director of this production.
Right.
But are you also playing a character?
No, I am not. Oh. I'm playing the person who watches and says stuff. Yeah.
Well, so tell director about what is going on at this spelling bee. What is going on with these kids?
Well, I mean, it's just it's a county spelling bee. So they're coming from all sorts of schools over Putnam County. So they don't know one another. And Leaf like is homeschooled, but somehow made it into a spelling bee and somehow is at the county spelling bee, which doesn't make sense.
There's a whole story there about how I even got into a spelling bee when I'm homeschooled.
Right. Like, there's some unexplained stuff in the script for sure. Logan, Tina's character is from the Magnum school. She's from like the super smart kid school, and she has like a very progressive lifestyle. And then you have the character of William Barfee, which is played by Tyler Eger. And he is like the really nerdy, so smart, almost won last year kid, but didn't because of a peanut allergy. So all of these characters. And then you have last year's champion, who's there again, who Evan Needham plays, Chip Tolentino. And then Jesse Schemann is she kind of came out of, not in like nowhere, but she's like the very quiet and reserved. She comes from kind of a broken home. She plays Olive. And then Maggie Hockaday's playing Marcy, who is very rigid and Marcy made it to nationals last year for Virginia and is suddenly now in the Putnam County Spelling Bee. And she thinks this is like ridiculous because she doesn't like, she has to make some strong choices about like if she even wants to be there anymore. She's kind of sick of being perfect all the time. So all of them are here stuck at this county spelling bee and they're just kids. And the beauty of the show is it's adults playing children. So it has, it's the energy of children with the edginess, the humor of being an adult. So people of all ages can enjoy this show. There's one song in particular that's not really appropriate for children, but I don't think they would get it. So it's not going to affect them in any way, but the adults will think it's hilarious. But it's, you know, it's just kids like struggling with their lives, which is this show is delightful because it's heartwarming and honest and so funny in both of those things. It's funny in its honesty because they're expressing, each one of the spellers, there's six spellers, and they're expressing different parts of every human being. And so every audience member is going to connect. So they're going to connect with Logan. They're going to connect with Leaf. They're going to connect with Olive. There's a speller. They're going to be like, oh my God, that was me when I was a kid, which is the delightful part of the show.
We get little breakaways where we step out of the context of what's actually happening in the show, and we get a little moment for a character where we get to see something from their past. And whenever we have something like that, family members, you know, parents, siblings, whoever needs to be represented will be played by one of the actors in the show that plays one of the other kids or someone else in the cast. Mm. So we all have brief moments where we step into dual roles to represent other people as needed.
Do you do that?
I do. I actually, when I am not Leaf Coney Bear, I spend a little bit of time moonlighting as one of Tina's two gay dads.
Carl Dad.
Yeah, I'm Carl.
No, you're Dan
no,
Dad.
No, I'm Dan Dad, yes.
Identity crisis.
I'm Dan Dad. I'm Daniel Schwartz.
Do you step out of Leaf and into Daniel Schwartz? Like, is it a quick change?
Yes.
Okay.
I both times that it happens, I think I'm Leaf and I have about 10 seconds to become Dan, and then I'm Dan, and then when I'm done being Dan, I have about 10 seconds to go back to being Leaf where I need to be Leaf again.
Does Leaf interact with Logan?
I think there are also multiple opportunities to kind of like meet on the bleachers while we're waiting for spelling.
Okay. Yeah. But you don't have any lines.
But we don't really.
We have a little bit in the beginning.
That's
right. We have one written exchange. But as Tina was alluding to, the beauty of the show is that we get a lot of room to just play.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of opportunity. Whether it's actual moments of space that we get to fill with lines, or even just with our bodies in the background when things are going on, we get a lot of opportunity to just play with each other and create interactions organically based on what's happening around us.
And Tina, so Logan, the character of Logan, why does Logan want to do this
Logan? She works really hard because of the pressure that her two dads put on her. Like, she obviously really does like to spell, but she has this constant pressure from both of her dads to win this. So, and like, she has a couple flashbacks where her dads are like, you gotta win this. You gotta win this. So she's like, celebrates those little victories as soon as she gets a word correct. And then as soon as she doesn't, like, it's just like her whole world shatters.
So that doesn't sound
relatable.
No, that does, that sounds relatable.
Mm-hmm. Is yes.
That, you mean to you personally, Tina?
Yeah, I relate very heavily to Logan.
Yeah?
Oddly enough, yes.
I want to talk about Logan's song, because we talked about Pandemonium and we talked about Leaf. What is Logan's song?
Her song is called Woe Is Me. And, you know, it starts off with her two dads just like in her ear pressuring her. And it's all like, I gotta win this spelling bee. I gotta win this spelling bee because there's no or else. I have to win this spelling bee. So, and yeah, I mean, that's so relatable because she's the youngest one at the spelling bee. So she puts on this confident front, but like she's still kind of self-conscious about herself because she's 9 years old. So she's still trying to figure things out. And there's all these amazing people who spell really well, and she needs to impress them and do better than them because she has to win.
Tina Tumada, whose character is Logan in North Coast Repertory Theater's production of the musical 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Also here have been actor Ethan Vaughn and director Nan Voss. The show opens Friday and runs through December 8th, every Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. with Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. NCRT is located at 300 5th Street, Eureka. For tickets and information, you can phone 442-NCRT or visit ncrt.net. I'm Wendy Butler, and this is Art Waves on KHSU. Blue Lake-based Del Arte International founded the first Arts in Corrections Theater Program at Pelican Bay State Prison in Crescent City. Del Arte's Janessa Johnsrud and Zuzka Sabata teach the program. Visual artist Julie McNeil is also a teaching artist through the Arts in Corrections program at Pelican Bay. Janessa and Julie are both my guests today. We begin with them explaining where in the facility they teach and what they teach. Julie, you teach in 5 different facilities there at Pelican Bay State Prison. What does that mean?
Yes, there's the mainline, the general population of Pelican Bay and the main yards, of which there are 2. But there are some other facilities there that are a little different, a number of them. One of them is the Level 1 facility, which is a separate facility outside of the secure perimeter. And then there's actually a brand new, pretty brand new, Level 2 facility, which I do not teach at, but Janessa teaches at, and some of the other artists. That facility, too, was created recently. They took part of the SHU facility, the C facility, SHU, and they reconstructed it into a lower security Level 2 structure, which is currently kind of the art pod with a flurry of art activities going on in it. And Janessa might be able to describe that more because that's a new thing. But I also teach in the RCGP, which is a transitional housing facility. And in some ways, it's kind of like the SHU where I also teach and Cecilia teaches, because the students are brought in individually and they're in individual cages or kiosks. And we teach the class that way. So my RCGP and my SHU classes are that kind of a class. So that's why we only do drawing in there.
Yeah, yeah. And that is comparable to what Cecilia Holland was talking about when we interviewed about her work there. Some of them have people more in groups.
Yes.
But then there are others where they're individualized in kinds of cages or cage-like areas that they must come in and remain in.
Yes.
All right, and then going over to Janessa, where is it that you and Zuzka teach? there?
We teach on the level one yard, so the minimum security facility, like Julie was saying, which is outside of the main perimeter. We teach on level two, the D yard, and then we also teach classes on A yard and B yard, which are kind of like mirroring yards to one another within the secure perimeter. And specifically, we teach our classes in an unused chow hall or dining hall, in a gym, in a small room that I believe doubles as a chapel, and also in an educational room.
So you don't teach any classes in highly secure for, you know, with the students, the inmates who must stay individualized in cage. Is.
We don't have that in our schedule right now. We're contracted by the William James Association as an arts organization to bring in professional actor training. And so we work together with the William James Association to establish the classes. But we are at the helm of our own pedagogy, which means that we create the curriculum that we bring in, which is mirrored off of the curriculum that we have at Del Arte International School of Physical Theater.
And is the program called Del Arte at Pelican Bay?
We just call it the prison program, Del Arte's prison program, for clarity. You know, really, it's an arts and corrections program funded by the California Arts Council and contracted by the William James Association. But all that, you know, we're, to be clear, we're artists from Del Arte that are teaching theater at the prison. Yeah.
And same thing with you, Julie. You are contracted by the William James Association through the Arts and Corrections Program.
Correct.
That is, okay, all right. But of course, your work is not Del Arte work. It's totally separate.
Yeah.
That you do with your drawing classes.
Yes. Yes, it's separate.
First of all, one, Janessa, why did you want to get involved with a program of this type? And two, what is it that you do with your students in that program? So starting with why you wanted to be involved.
There's a lot of reasons why I wanted to be involved, but this is a particularly underserved population. And, you know, looking at social justice reformation, I feel my role as an artist and the role as a community-based artist, which is what we practice at Del Arte, it's important to look to those communities as well. And we teach ensemble-based physical theater. So we're looking at the actor in groups of people generating their own material. And within that, we study what is it to be aware, available, and responsive, present. And, you know, because we're teaching ensemble-based physical theater, a lot of what we teach has to do with who's in the ensemble. So one of the unique aspects of the program is we get a lot of turnover in certain yards because people are going home or they're switching locations or they get ducated for an education class, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of movement. So while we're teaching improvisation, we're also improvising based on who's in the room. Now, certain groups we've been with for almost 2 years that have remained relatively consistent, and we've moved to the point with them where we're able to actually generate, you know, pieces of theater. And some classes, you know, just have to remain that one moment in time where we're working with people. So it really depends who's there. And we teach character-based physical theater. We look at storytelling and story creation. We are able to bring in our Commedia mask, our Commedia dell'arte masks, into the minimum security facility, the level one facility. In other places in the prison, they're considered, it's masks are considered escape paraphernalia, so we're not allowed to bring those in. It really ranges based on who's there.
In a typical class, how many students do you have?
We can have up to 10 students.
And do you sometimes have that?
Yes.
And is it always the two of you, you and Zuzka?
No, we actually switch off. So we teach individually so we can offer programming for 40 weeks out of the year. So rather than going in shorter increments together, we're able to rotate on in 10-week chunks of time.
How do you do a warm up when you know, because it's one thing to be there, but it's another thing to actually have people want to express themselves.
Yeah.
In an organized way.
Yes. Well, we do it differently, her and I, so I can talk from my perspective, but I'm big on starting the circle together and coming to the circle. And the baseline of the work is the proposal is making a circle. And then how do you do your best to fulfill that proposal? And this is pulled from various teachers that I've had. Kurt Tufland, who runs Shakespeare Behind Bars, talks about the circle in his work too. And we have, again, based on who's there, different rituals to start the practice that is that we create together in ensemble. And so that's how we come into class. And we play games, again, to look at what is it to be a present actor in space and time using the principles of awareness, availability, and responsiveness. And we experiment and go from there.
Is there a lot of, there's a lot of physical movement. There's a lot of walking around, moving around. Do you have guards in there?
In certain classrooms we do, in certain ones we don't. We are equipped with, we're required to wear alarms in certain parts of the prison and have whistles in other parts. So there, yes, there are in some and some and not in other places.
Janessa Johnsrud of Del Arte, who teaches theater at Pelican Bay State Prison. Julie McNeil is also here, and she teaches drawing and painting at Pelican Bay. Janessa responds first in this next segment. And you are listening to Art Waves on KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. When you first started doing this, what kind of questions did students ask you when they came in? Did they ask questions about what you were going to do?
Sure, yeah. A whole range of questions. You know, you're looking at, sometimes you're working with people, and this happens inside of a prison, outside of a prison, people with varying levels of experience. So, you know, sometimes people have never seen a play before. So you have to figure out how to talk about the concepts and principles and what's involved in theater. I find it really helpful to talk about the art of the game. And so comparing, you know, different games that you can watch on TV or sports, you know, to various theatrical principles. But, so yeah, again, it really depends on the individual, and that's what you're dealing with when you're working in a place like that, is a bunch of different individuals that come from a bunch of different places. So it's hard to generalize saying, you know, what do students in prison think, because they're just humans that happen to be incarcerated. So their questions range from what is a play to professional actors being in there, like wanting to get better at their skills.
And Julie, same questions for you. Basically, why did you want to get involved, and what sort of programming are you doing?
Well, I think it's a challenge. To me, it was a challenge. I'd heard about the Arts and Corrections program probably about 15 years ago. I'd heard about it. I didn't know much about it. But I did know, I had a friend who had taught up at Pelican Bay for many, many years, and she just had so many interesting things to say about the experience. So when I had the opportunity to come in and start teaching, it just was a challenge. It was of interest, and I was just curious, really, and went in also at the same time as two experienced artists. So I felt secure enough in the sense of I had people with me who had been inside before, had been into Pelican Bay, and that included Cecilia Holland, who taught for many years, and Dale Morgan, who teaches guitar for Arts and Corrections for many years. So we, all three of us, went in 2014 to kind of restart Arts and Corrections at Pelican Bay. So I felt like there was other artists there that I could figure out, you know, how does this work? What's this key? How do you do this? You know, and also the William James Association does a pretty good job of training. I had a mentor, Bill Peterson. He was a mentor for many of us for some time. And so that reinforced really the best path to go inside of Pelican Bay, make a successful art program or restart it back up again in its new form. So that was, the whole process was just very interesting, really, really interesting. Mm-hmm.
And you teach exclusively drawing or not?
Visual arts. So it's flexible. Drawing is really, it's sort of like Cecilia with writing. It's one of the reasons that the two of us are in the shoe. So if we could figure out a way to bring theater art into the shoe, it started with Cecilia Holland. She went in, she was the first person, she got in there to teach her writers in the secure housing unit. And when that worked out, it was like, okay, how can we get something else inside? And there had been guys on the inside there who were themselves self-taught artists, and they started asking. They were like, can we get a drawing class? Can we get a drawing class? And so I sat in on Cecilia's class to see what it would be like. And the enthusiasm and interest that was there, you know, so that's how I ended up in that particular facility. But we have a very vibrant and exciting painting classes, because people do not have access to paints in housing. Many people draw. There's a lot of really fantastic, very imaginative, creative storytelling art that people are doing themselves. And the artists on the inside, they're very limited in their materials. They use a pen filler. You know, it's like removing the plastic outer coating of the pen, and people are permitted to use the filler inside. But amazing what, again, as Janessa was talking about, under such restrictive environments, the creativity that is and potential and possibilities are enormous.
So when you teach drawing, mm-hmm. they use a pen filler to draw, yes. is what you're saying your students yes. do. And do yes. you also teach painting, or other people teach painting?
No, I teach painting.
And so how do they use the paint?
So in the main line, where Janessa and Zuzka also teach, actually all of us teach those main line yards, which are level 4 yards. So it was quite a challenge, but we did get acrylic paints. We have brushes. We have pastels. I just got new materials recently. We have colored pencils. So we do have a variety of different visual art materials, canvases, different kinds of papers. And so that is, I think, the biggest challenge is we have fairly short amounts of time together. And the students start pumping out these paintings, and it's like, oh, sorry, got to count, you know, all 40 brushes, got to count all 10 rags, got to count all 20 canvases. Sorry, everybody, we got to go. And it's like this energetic kind of break it all down and leave and see you in a week. And so people are very intense when they come in. They like come in and they really want to paint. And we get a lot of wonderful work that comes out of that.
Julie McNeil, who teaches painting and drawing. You also heard from Janessa Johnsrud, who teaches theater. Both are doing so through the Arts and Corrections Program at Pelican Bay State Prison in Crescent City. That's all the time we have today. Art Waves is broadcast each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., available anytime at khsu.org. And podcasts of the program are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler, and thank you for listening.